for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday morning, June the 27th, 1979. Summer camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. David Bunch of Van Nuys, California, is a teacher of the morning.
It's a joy to be in the house of the Lord again. I think undoubtedly this is the best camp meeting I've been in 29 years in the ministry. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. You realize there's no food for the spiritual man except the Word of God. And one that thinks that they can get up in the morning time and reach over and take something out of the promise box and think they've had food, you're a very weak and dying Christian. Amen. It takes nourishment to fight in the spiritual realm, and that's the Word of God. Amen. We've been speaking for two different times concerning Peter getting out of the boat and the significance of that message, and then going to Revelation in the 10th chapter and showing that mystical way of Jesus coming back to the boat and showing that in the 10th chapter the great angel there is actually the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a rainbow. He comes in a cloud. His face shines. His feet are aglow. He has a voice like a lion. And he has a little book in his hand. All of these things are describing in the Word of God our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the spiritual body of Christ. The spiritual body of Christ. And then we also referred to the man-child being born as the same thing as Peter getting out of the boat. Thessalonians is not a rapture of the church, but is the birth of the man-child. Jesus coming back, bringing those that have qualified all through every age. There have been overcomers in every age. Bringing with them and calling up the man-child that is also a part of these others, for they are a many-membered body, and calling them over into the spiritual realm, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. And the man-child is going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Now, not knowing that I would be speaking at the camp meeting, I didn't bring any notes, and usually when one speaks extemporaneously, unless he really keeps it down, he wanders. Notes are good because they keep you the rudder straight in the boat. They keep the message straight, and so you don't wander. So you pray for me this morning that we can keep it. But there have been those that have asked me, what about the time? How soon? Well, Jesus has said, no man knoweth the day or the hour. But we certainly have some things in the Word of God that tell us of the season. We have many things that speak to us of the end time, such as the charismatic outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this last day. God has revealed himself in the Word. God has revealed himself in the heavens. And God has revealed himself in the charismatic or the Pentecostal experience. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And the very fact that God is speaking through people in a language they have never known is one of those signs of the end times. Now, I have a little article here that I'd like to share with you just for a moment. One that I've used for years on a tombstone in Essex, England. There is an inscription with the dates ending at the death of this person in 1490, 2 years before or Columbus discovered America. And it said, when pictures look alike with movement free, and ships like fishes swim beneath the sea, and men outscanning birds or outstripping birds shall scan the sky, then half the world deep trenched in blood shall die. Pictures look alike with movement free, the television, the motion picture. Ships like fishes swim beneath the sea, the submarine. And men flying, outstripping birds. And a prophecy concerning an holocaust in this last day. And then over in the Farmer's Almanac, I read from this 1979 Farmer's Almanac. The following lines were first published in England in 1485, now well before America was discovered, and were said to have been uttered by a prophetess long before the discovery of America, before any of the discoveries or inventions mentioned therein were made. All the predictions have come to pass except that contained in the last two lines. However, we, the editor of the Old Farmer's Almanac, will add one additional prediction, namely that Mother Shipton will end up with an excellent prophecy score of 13 correct out of 14. Now remember, the man that made this final decision, he's not a Christian. He doesn't know anything about the Word of God. Carriages without horses shall go, and accidents fill the world with woe. And the automobile has killed more in 1 year in America than the Vietnam War in its entirety, as far as the American people are concerned. Around the world, thoughts shall fly in the twinkling of an eye, and our satellites and our television and our radios. Waters shall yet more wonders do. How strange, yet shall be true. And water turning dynamos that produce electricity, and waters, heavy water used in the atomic explosion. The world upside down shall be, and gold be found in a root of a tree. Well, at the time this was written, they thought it was flat, but they suddenly found that you can be upside down on it and still be all right. It was round. And gold was found in America at the root of a tree in California. Through hills man shall ride, no horse nor ass be at his side. And highways have been made through the mountains with the automobile. He rides without the horse and the ass. Underwater man shall walk, shall ride, shall sleep, shall talk. Submarine and the aquanauts. In the air men shall be seen, in white, in black, and green. I don't understand the white and black and green, but certainly our satellites and our airplanes and all of this. And iron in the water shall float, as easy as a wooden boat. You see, they made it all out of wood, and they never dreamed that. And all of our ships now are made out of iron. Well, during the war, World War II, we made some out of cement, do you remember? Kaiser did. Gold shall be found midst stone in a land that's now unknown, Alaska and America. Fire and water shall wonders do, and England shall at last admit a Jew. And fire and water, the atomic explosion, the wonder of atomic power. The atomic power of fire producing steam that turns your turbines for your electricity. And England finally had a Jewish prime minister. England shall at last admit a Jew. And this world to an end shall come in 1981. Now, beloved, this is not in the Word of God. So take it as such. But let it be as a warning that we do not be at ease in Zion. For the time, the end time is upon us, and we dare not be at ease in Zion. We must be ready to meet our God. Many are called, but few are chosen. And I hope this morning to challenge you in an area possibly that you've not heard of, and even others have scoffed of. And so you take it and weigh it, as you must all. But I repeat what our brother Lee said. God is giving different men different pictures. It's all a picture, and it will dovetail together. It's a lot like God dealt me when he first gave me the last day ministry. He'd give me a portion, and I would share it, and I'd be thrilled about it. And then he'd give me another portion, and I'd be thrilled about it.
And then all of a sudden in one service he just sort of slipped it together, and I stood there with my mouth open as I realized what God was doing. And God began to break down traditions, and oh, I argued with him. I said, but Lord, and I said, Lord, you show me Scripture. Oh, did he show me Scripture? And then I had to go back to the book and start throwing out sermons. You see, because God's ways are not man's ways. Just as the Jews missed the first coming of the Lord, the physical body of Christ, the church is going to be so also steeped in tradition that they'll miss the second coming. Amen. Now, I want us to turn to Matthew, the 24th chapter, if you will. We're going many places this morning, I hope. And so, hold on, because we're going to be talking and bringing in the end time. And I hope to show you where it fits in to the overall plan. In the third verse of the 24th chapter, and as he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now, their question is, how do we know the end is coming? What is it? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You see, Jones, down in Guyana, told his followers that he was Christ. And Father Divine, and there are many others, and there will be many others. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And certainly we're living in a time where there is a war. The Bible says, as a woman travails in childbirth, so shall the end time be. What does it mean? Well, there is one labor pain, a period of time, and then another labor pain, and another labor pain, and pretty soon they are one continuous travail. We had World War I, and then a period of time, and World War II, and less of a period of time, and then Korea, and then Vietnam, and Laos, and so forth, until they're still fighting, and there's still war in Cambodia, and they're crying, peace, peace at the table, but there is no peace. But as a woman travails in childbirth, so shall the end time be. And it says, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. What? All these are the beginning of sorrows. The enemy is beginning to come in like a flood, if you please. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Now I want you to notice, first of all, famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places, and the end is not yet, you see. And they will deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Not talking about the Jew. The Jew is not for his name's sake. We are his name. We are Christians, Christians. We are those that are called by his name. There is persecution coming, beloved. There is persecution and pressure coming. And it could come overnight. Already the groundwork is being laid as the IRS is moving into the cult first. So we all say, wonderful, wonderful. Neighbor, you take the liberty away from one, and the next one on the row in the line is you. We received a letter, and we still don't know what's coming of it, but we received a letter from the IRS asking us why our church did not report the income from the Bank of America in San Francisco. We wrote them back a letter and said we've never, ever had any dealings with the Bank of America in San Francisco, and our only income is from free will offerings. But we suspected, of course, we prayed and bound this thing, so God very easily could have undertaken, but we feel that it was a guise to begin to probe and to reach into our finances and so forth. It isn't a matter. It's just like our brother on Praise the Lord, Jim Baker. The things that they've required of him are absolutely outlandish. It's just completely out of line. This is going, you see. Well, how was it initiated? Because some cults in Pasadena, some cults in South America, in gangs, were exposed.
Satan delivered up his own and exposed them to begin to give precedent and initiation to bring persecution on the people of God. Alrighty? And so, and then shall many of be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. These are evidently not the real saints of God, because the Bible says, by this shall you know them, that they have love one for another. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And don't tell me, beloved, the evil that is coming on television now, the uncensored rot and filth that God's children are staying home from church because they just can't miss it. And all of these things, beloved, are causing the love of many to wax cold. Paul said to Timothy, stir up that lieth within you. That's good. Don't be worried about the little emotions. I've found that everybody that sticks their finger in a light socket has some emotions. If I put my hand on the stove, my sensory nerves brings a message to my brain, says, son, that dude is hot. My motor nerves takes a message back and says, move it. And I go, ah! And that's emotion. Amen? I draw up to a big old stake with emotion. We don't see much of it anymore. It's too high. Amen? We greet one another with emotions. We're an emotional being. If you get upset, you get ulcers, you don't sleep, you can't eat, whatever. Now, you mean to tell me the God that created all the heavens and the earth, the God that created and spoke the universe into existence, when he comes into this frail body, is not going to touch the basic part of you and make you emotional? Only way not, you're dead. But if you're alive, you're going to feel the presence and the power of God. When he touches your heart, the tears are going to flow. Oh, I don't mean every time you come around, but you're going to feel God's presence. You're going to be aware of him. Amen? So, we're living in very perilous times. The iniquity of many shall, the iniquity shall wax and abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. In other words, the saints of God are enduring through this beginning of sorrows. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. Let's go back, go on to the 21st verse, because we haven't got time and I'm skipping many things in each one of these. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. A tribulation that is greater than anything that you have ever seen. Go back to Genghis Khan. Go back to the massacre of the Jews in World War II, the 6 million of them that were killed, and some of them even skinned and lamps made out of their bodies, out of their skin. Go back to all of the things. And it says that that's coming, it doesn't compare with those things that happened, don't compare with that that is coming. That's what it says. For there shall be tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Isn't it strange that some people preach that we're already up in a cabin in the sky in the by and by? Now, if we are there, why does God have to shorten the time? Huh? It's because we're still here, beloved. We're still right here. Are you with me? Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive even the elect. Oh, the elect are down here to be deceived. Certainly not in heaven. We do not believe that in that glorious place of spiritual realm that Satan's going to have the right to come over and deceive the elect, do we? No, they're here. Certainly still here.
Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert. Go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber. Believe it not. Why not go running out to the little group? Because, beloved, we don't have to run to it. When Jesus Christ comes, he calls those that are a part of the man-child over into the spiritual realm. He calls them. We're not running out to meet some little group that think that they've got it all. When the man-child is born, he will be born a supernatural spiritual being. He will come out of the woman, it is true, but he will not come out ahead of time. He's not a premature birth. When he comes out, he will be born, and he will immediately be caught up up into the throne of God, or over into the spiritual realm. God's realm is the spiritual realm, not someplace up, but higher in dimension, higher in authority, in the spiritual realm. Are you still with me? All right. I can see we're not even going to begin to scratch what I wanted to share with you this morning. He won't be hiding anywhere. If you got to go to find him, you've already missed him, honey. All righty? God's going to bring the people out of the people. Now, this is a supernatural separation. And I want to share with you and show you how it dovetails together with our brother Lee's message. And I hope to get on into it. And I better keep on talking if I'm going to. Let's look at the 29th verse. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. After this tribulation, after the stars fall, and I find that the stars and the sun becomes black, a sackcloth of air, and the moon becomes blood. When? At the end, in the sixth chapter of Revelation, at the end of the ministry of the 1, 2, 3, 4 beasts, or horses, excuse me, and the riders of it. Now, in this, I hope we can go to that and look at the parts of that. That's a whole Bible study in itself and quite lengthy. But you'll notice, and we point you back to the woman going into the wilderness in the 12th chapter, when the man-child is born. Brother Lee has drawn his tabernacle. Let me put his tabernacle back up again, huh? Oops, I got it lopsided. I better be a little more careful with my drawing. All righty. Now, he drew a mountain over here. And here is Zion, and here is the Jerusalem, let's just put it Jerusalem. For Zion is within Jerusalem, and the man-child is within the woman right now. But there's coming a time when, like God called Peter out of the boat, he left Jerusalem back in the boat. But Peter came over into the supernatural realm and walk with God. He tasted of the supernatural. And when God calls those up into the Holy of Holies, I want to know what happens to these people right here. And he comes back, and judgment begins at the house of God right here. The woman is prepared, is cleansed, is dealt with. Now, the Bible says here, in the area that I want to talk about for a moment, is that there will be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. God at this time, at the time of the birth of the man-child, caught over into the spiritual realm, God takes the woman into the wilderness to a place prepared for her. She flees into the wilderness. Well, into a place prepared by God, and she is fed there. Now let us see whether we have a word of God to back up this particular thought. First of all, Noah. What did Noah do? He prepared a hiding place. And he stocked it with food and provisions until the time of judgment fell, and then he closed the door, and they could not get in because they were protected and sealed by God and lifted up as judgment fell on the rest of the world. As in the days of Noah, so shall the end time. Now, what did Noah teach? He taught something that had never been taught before. What are we teaching you? Tradition? Or something that has never been taught before? And they would not believe. The 11 that were in the boat, they were afraid that it was a spirit. But old Peter, who it depicts spirit-filled people, he is the one that preached on the day of Pentecost, and it's the spirit-filled people that are candidates to go through the third veil. You have to take each rung of the ladder. You don't skip. When the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "By what authority doest thou these things?" He said, "I'll ask you a question first. The baptism of John, whence was it?" And they said to themselves, "If we say it was of God," he'll say, "Why didn't you believe? And if we say it was not of God, we fear these people." They said, "We can't tell you." And Jesus says, "Well, then I won't tell you either." He took them back to the first rung of the ladder that they refused to step on. And because they refused to acknowledge it, he wouldn't give them any more life. And beloved, this revelation and the things that God is doing in this last day comes to those with an open heart. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness are being fed. And so, Noah preached a message that had never been preached. He prepared a hiding place, and he stored it with food. All right, let's look and see Elijah. Elijah was a type of the church, both the man-child and the Zion and Jerusalem, the man-child and the woman. Because of the corruption of government, Ahab and Jezebel, he fled into the wilderness, first of all, to a place that God had prepared for him. And God supernaturally fed him there and brought him bread and brought him flesh. Didn't God know that we're not supposed to eat meat? Well, that's just... God prepared. And so here is an example of God's preparation. Well, let's stop here for a minute and bring in Joseph. God could have certainly kept it raining in Canaan. But he didn't. He made a provision. He sent Joseph, who was rejected by his brethren, and the man-child, beloved, is going to be rejected by the brethren. They're not going to be accepted by the brethren. They will put them in prison. They will do what they can because Satan knows who these people are as they begin to separate themselves. God's going to choose, but you can tell the symptoms. You can tell those that are on fire and those that are not. I don't give Satan any great knowledge. I'm not implying that. But I can look out and watch you worship and tell who's really loving God and pressing in and who isn't. Amen? And so, Joseph was rejected. God turned around and used it and set him on the throne. And when he was ruling, during what? A famine. Then he brought his brethren in. Now, there's a story about Benjamin and how God didn't reveal himself until Benjamin came on the scene. It's a beautiful story, and Joseph, a type of Christ, and so forth. It's another message. But he prepared, and he took care of them. They were fed as the one in charge, ruling in the kingship dominion, took care of them. Came out of the same loins as Benjamin. And out of the woman, out of the same loins, will come, out of Jesus Christ, will come both the man-child. Now, let us go on. Because the woman, after she gives birth to this man-child, and remember, she's an overcomer. And I want you to see this, for there are three divisions here. God often does things
in three divisions.
There are those that will be in the outer court that are not classified as overcomers. There will be those in the holy place that are overcomers. They will be clothed with the sun. The woman is clothed with the sun. And she has her feet upon the moon, her feet over the flesh. The moon reflects the sun, and we have life in ourselves as the moon has no life in itself, but we reflect the glory of God, and the moon shows forth the sun. And whenever it's blotted out, we only have half a moon, and I've seen a lot of half-moon Christians. They show forth the glory of God. This is a woman that has her feet upon the fleshly man. She's an overcomer. To the overcomer will I allow to sit with me on the throne. To the overcomer, I will robe in white. And what is the white robes? The righteousness of the saints. And what is the righteousness of the saints? Jesus Christ. She is robed with what? The sun. You say, but it's spelled S-U-N. So is it in Malachi. Unto them that fear the Lord shall the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness appear with healing in his wings. And this is another picture of a great transformation and another message. It's not dealing with Jesus Christ coming, but the message preceded it, and it itself is talking about a transformation and a healing of the body of Christ to those that lean upon him, reverently trust the Lord, to those that lean upon him. Glory be to God. You see, that's got to be pretty substantial, and God's able to keep that we've committed unto him. And so, we see that Joseph is a type of all of these things, of this hiding place, of this provision of the Lord. All right? God supernaturally provided for Elijah. But then what did he do? Being a type of the woman and the man, then he went on into the woman with a meal barrel. Now what she had? She had store. She had enough that it kept her most of the way through the famine. Then he came, and the meal barrel didn't fail, and the oil didn't fail. It was replenished. And we will find, beloved, those in the hiding place that God has prepared, and there are different kinds of hiding places. I know of one. And by the way, why do you think that Jones went down with his hiding group? So a lot of saints will say, oh, brother, that sounds like Jones to me. One of those precious stumbling blocks. Just like when Jesus, they said, he comes from Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He didn't bother to say, oh, no, wait a minute, gentlemen, I come from Bethlehem. He didn't do it. He let it stay right there. If they weren't close enough and hungry enough for God to speak to them and step over that stumbling block, they weren't a part of it. You don't counterfeit a $6 bill. You counterfeit something that's real. And Jones has made a lot of Christians afraid. But God is calling a people. And God right now is having many. I know in Idaho, in Montana, in California, in Guyana, in Arkansas. You know that's in the Bible, don't you? Noah came out of the Arkansas. Oh my. Did I really say that? And so he came to a place. And so God is showing an example of both. Are you following? So when this man-child, when the kingly ministry is called over, this is suddenly hid as destruction begins to fall upon this earth. There's going to be a famine, first of all. All right? And so it's going to come to a great famine. First 2 years won't be quite so bad. But in the third year, or in the end of the second year, when the money people of this world can no longer get their food, even with all their money, when there is a shortage on their table, they will get together and negotiate a Holocaust. That will come, and never before have they had the opportunity that they have now,
For a war always destroyed their holdings, their factories, their planes, everything. But now with a neutron bomb, they can kill without worrying one little bit about their factories or their ships or anything else being destroyed. You see, in the land of Goshen, God had a people. And when judgment fell everywhere else, it didn't touch the land of Goshen. All right? So, those that stayed in the boat, even though the waves were boisterous around, they were still all right. They made the other side, and the woman's going to make the other side. But not for a period of time, for 3 years, it rained not during the time of the witness of the two witnesses. For 3 years. During Elijah's time, it rained not for 3 years. You see? And during that 3 year period, the woman that will give birth to the man child, and the man child is born first. Just as Adam was born first and had his physical body, and then later the woman came, so also will man shall be born, and then later the woman will have her glorified body. Well, we have an example of both. You say, but God said he will provide. Certainly. But how he provides is up to him. For the place in South America that I know of, they have nuts of every kind. They have bananas. They have papaya and mango and avocados and breadfruit, and potatoes grow wild. They are indigenous of the country, and water in abundance and all of the things. And I have a friend that 3 months ago did not know a person in the world but had a vision of the hiding place. God showed him. And he told me, described this place. And he says, is there such a place? And I said, yes, right here. And he went down and he got the books and he got pictures. And here was everything that he'd seen in his vision. He contacted the ambassador of that country. And within a few minutes, they were on first name basis. He said, if you're going down there, then you must have a contact. I have a brother who is in charge, the head of all land development in the country. You'll need that country. And he is possibly the next prime minister of the country in the election. Suddenly, did not God give Joseph favor with the king? This man, he went down and visited and presented his needs, and it is a socialist, almost a communist country. But even though God gave and made his enemies be at peace with him, oh my. And he went down, and then this man came on back, and this man, who is a communist, called him and said, I have found your land for you. I've got 200 acres, 100 something else, I forget what it was. It's a real weird thing, I never heard of it before. Means 2 acres. What? Anybody got it? All right. And so he's got 200 acres. He said, well, how much will it cost me? He said, nothing. Just get down here and I'll sign it over to you. Well, where is it? It's 70 miles from the nearest city. You'll have to take a boat up and then take a tributary off, and that river runs right through the middle of your property. Well, what do I have to do? Well, just build a little shack. Well, how will I get lumber in? He said, lumber in? You're right in the middle of the jungle, but there are great fields there already cleared. Somehow nature has refused to let the jungle grow in that area, and you can plow it, you can plant it, it's ready for cultivation. And I'll send the Indians in with you, and they will cut down the trees and build your sheds for you so that you won't have to worry about doing that. Down there is exactly what he saw in his dream. He dreamt it 4 times the same night. It transformed and changed his life. God is preparing to make a room for the woman. Now, you say, but Brother Bunch, I read about a group just recently. The leader of it was killed in an airplane accident. And they had a hiding place, yes, but not scriptural. You say, why not scriptural? Because they went there ahead of time in Canada and United States and other countries The woman is not going there until the birth of the man-child. It may be prepared for her, but she's not going out and separating herself in the desert or so forth. He said, if you hear about them over there, don't go. But when the man-child is born, it's not going to be any secret, honey. There's going to be a supernatural manifestation of the glory and the power of the living God. And the woman will flee into the wilderness. And you don't go there ahead of time. You may prepare it. You may take root. And so we have two examples. One where God took care of it as such as my friend. And another where the store has to be put away for 3 years. For wheat, grinders, flour, honey, sugar, the whole works. How God prepares for it is up to Him. He can do it in a supernatural way, but He could have provided supernatural for Joseph's relatives, but He didn't. He said store. Amen? All right. Peter gets out of the boat, but the woman stays in the boat to a place that has been prepared for, and she's kept in that place. And then after the end of the walk, which is 3 years, Peter's walk on the water, the ministry of the two witnesses, then they come back to the boat, and immediately the boat's on the other side. The woman is caught over into the spiritual realm. And so we have that particular picture there. Now, we know that in Revelation 6, that it rains not. This fourth beast, well, first of all, the second beast, and we'll just try to quickly give you this. The second beast is a red horse. The communist ideology that rides and has power to take peace from the world. That means war. War. And many are killed. All right? The next beast is a black horse, and could very well be a picture of the black movement today all over the world, with a balance in his hands, wanting equality. Could also be speaking of a black market that would come up in a famine, for it says there are 3 measures of barley for a penny, and 1 measure of wheat for a penny. Well, that is really, in the original, it's about 18 cents. And you say, well, that's not much. But in that day, it was a full day's wages. So there's coming a time when every bit of man's wages will go for just 1 little quart of wheat and 3 quarts of barley. And he won't have any money for food, clothing, or anything else. And it says the next beast, a pale horse, I keep calling it beast. I repudiate that. It's a horse. If you want to call it a steed, all right, but not a beast. And the next horse has the power, death follows it. And it has the power to kill with hunger and with the beast of the field and with the sword. That's war. Sword is a weapon of war. And hunger, that's famine. And the beasts of the field, whenever they get hungry, they come in. It seems to me we don't have many lions and leopards around, but one of the most vicious animals in the world is your pet dog. In 10 days, it'll revert back to viciousness. Wasn't it just recently we read where a whole tribe of rats chased this woman in New York down the street? Huh? Now, what about atomic fallout that would change the genes of rats and mice and things, and they become as big as dogs? But what about your pet animal that impacts? Right out in California, there was a man in Simi Valley almost killed by a pack of wild dogs attacking him. He was ripped and torn all over by dogs. Now, God is going to take this woman, when the man-child is born and goes in the supernatural, and then he will come out and he will protect this woman. Turn with me to Isaiah, the 4th chapter. I just promised Lee I wouldn't rob him of his time. Look in the 4th chapter and you find a startling picture of this very thing. If you'll look with me, let's start with the 2nd verse. There's a lot to say about the first, but let's start with the 2nd. The first speaks of a woman, and all of the women joining itself to that church. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful. The Lord Jesus Christ, his spiritual body. And glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. For those that are escaped of Israel, the fruit of the earth will be beautiful and comely. In other words, those that are in the hiding place will pluck a plum, and the next day there will be another plum. The earth will bring forth plentifully, as it did in Adam and Eve's domain before they fell. And they will, without the sweat of the brow, feed and have the land abundantly taken. It says the earth shall bring forth, the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely. For who? For those that are escaped of Israel. For those that are in Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, many are called, but few are chosen, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, every one of them that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and we would go into the feet company now, and the washing of the feet, the last thing to be born in natural birth are the feet. And the last thing in the body of Christ will be the feet area. The feet area is this glorious company. That their feet are washed. And what does it say? And that's Zion. And Zion is going to be washed. And shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment. The church is going to be judged, but the man-child is going to be washed. And by the spirit of burning. Read Corinthians as it tells about our works being tried by fire, by the spirit of burning and judgment. And that that's hay, wood, and stubble will be burned up, and that is gold and silver and precious stones. Well, that's the Jerusalem out here. Zion that goes in will be washed. But Jerusalem will be judged. And judgment will begin at the house of the Lord, and this man-child will come out, and for 3 years he will deal not only with the woman, but he will deal also in the world. But I don't want to restrict him one way or the other, but he will deal with the woman that is taken care of, prepared by God. All righty? Listen to what it says. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion. There are these places all over the world. Don't think there's just one in South America or one here. God is preparing places. God is. Don't run home and get a meal barrel and stick it in your closet. If you live in the city, it won't do you a bit of good. It'll only do you good in the hiding place. Because the hordes of youths that are hungry will raid your home and destroy. My friend saw a vision of America in great sex orgies on the blocks. People totally with no morals, relationship with animals. And anybody that was hiding that was not of God but didn't want a part of it, they came out and desecrated them. And anybody that was left behind and was not in the hiding place, if you're in the outer court, beloved, then there's still hope for you. You'll make heaven if you don't deny Jesus Christ. And these are those that are the blood under the altar that are crying vengeance. But he says, no, not until the rest of those that have died that are appointed unto death, have died. Who are those? Well, it's the two witnesses that are appointed unto death. It's their destiny. God has already shown to Peter, sunk beneath the water, if you please. It says, upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies, a cloud and a smoke by day. God protecting it. A cloud by day giving the sun
warding off the heat of the sun, and a fire by night to warm them, don't you see? And the shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be the offense. You want to get into something that's rich and wonderful? Find out who the glory is. I was going to talk about that this morning, but we won't do it right now. And there shall be, you see, upon all the dwelling places where that woman is, the Zion people will be for defense. They will protect it. They will protect it. When the woman fled into the wilderness, there were Satan. And by the way, when the woman fled into the wilderness, she was protected. A flood came against her, and the earth opened up and swallowed it. The flood, it speaks of a multitude of people trying to get into that hiding place, but it was protected. It was opened, the earth opened up and swallowed it. And she was protected in her hiding place. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a comfort from storm and from rain. You see? As the witness of the two witnesses is finished, then the woman is taken over into that spiritual realm. And thus begins. For after the money people have killed all the multitudes, and they see right now if a bomb was dropped, 100 million Americans would die. 15 million Russians would die. How come it's only 15 million? Because they are building bomb shelters. They are building refugees because it's planned. Who are we going to save if we're the money people? We're going to save those that are used to having the thumb on them. And the Americans that are rebellious and strike and are used to this thing called freedom, we'll get rid of as many as we can. We'll save the technicians. We'll save those that know how to run our factories. We'll whisk them out the day before into the hiding, into the bomb shelters and everything, but we'll get rid of all the rest. And we'll do it all, and suddenly there will be enough food for us. You see, the very famine is going to initiate it and be the catalyst that starts it. When is it going to happen? Beloved, it's coming. God is preparing already the hiding place for his people. I want to be a part of Zion. But you better be sure you're a part, or at least your family has a part. Those that are outside, they will either renounce Jesus Christ, and there will be a great falling away. When it doesn't come to pass, as they have already been taught, when they see these things coming, they'll say, what can we believe? And thus Jesus said, will I find faith when I come? And they will renounce it and they'll fall away, but some will stand. God has already shown me some that will die as martyrs. They won't go along with the message, but they won't renounce Jesus Christ either. And there'll be the blood under the altar. But God is preparing a place, a hiding place, for 3 years. Elijah came out, and judgment began then on the church world, or the false prophecy that had come into the world, and Balaam was killed, and he went to the mountain, and he saw there a cloud about the size of a man's hand, the withered hand that has been withered all these years. During the 1,000 years millennium will be healed and stretched forth in full power, not part power. And then we see that 70-year-old man, as Ahab gets on his horses, his steeds, and undoubtedly he had the very best in the land. What did he do? Well, he outran them. Ahab had a beginning and beating, started on towards the city, and this 70-year-old man girded up his loins and outran the racehorses. Beloved, he will renew your youth as the eagles. The years that the canker worm has eaten, he will restore. There are many truths that are going to be revealed in God's word that has not been heard of, has been beyond the comprehension of the natural man, that God is going to suddenly have us claim. As we came into the experience of the baptism, we claimed it and it became a reality. As we came into the experience of the gifts of the Spirit, we claimed it and God began to use us. And as we come into this last day ministry, there are dimensions that God has reserved
that God's people will suddenly see and open the key, and it'll become a reality in their lives. When pictures look alike, we're movement free. Ships out swing fishes beneath the sea. And man outstripping birds shall scan the sky. Then half the world be trenched in blood shall die. A Holocaust. Well, I hope I haven't skipped over so fast that I didn't give you a basic panoramic view of what I wanted to share with you. And I plan to be on my knees in front of Lee Ellingwood asking forgiveness for taking 10 minutes of his time. Let's bow our heads for a second. Heavenly Father, I love you so. And I know that this is strange to many ears. But God, in your love, speak to those that you've chosen. Speak to those that are the overcomer, that they might realize this overall picture. And Father, as you give other men other things and how they fit in, let us all have our hearts open that we may receive and understand that we ourselves have not the full message. But God, you're given a piece here, for it must be line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, for a stammering lip and another tongue will you speak to this people. And so, my God, help us to be receptive and open that you may guide our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.